Good evening. Tonight's story is called
Parents Night In. Yeah.
There they go again.
Get off your phone, God.
You shushy.
We're trying to have a conversation here.
You didn't say anything to me before get off your phone.
I said plenty of things to you before get off your phone.
I didn't listen to him. Oh, I was busy on my phone.
That's about right. Yeah. That's about right.
How's good it going? Evening, how's it going, ladies folks? And gentlemen.
We are back. I feel like it's been a little while.
It's been a while. You know, times are hard. We're in like the depths of the hell of a pandemic.
Love in the time of COVID.
Love in the time of COVID.
We're like stuck in the house all the time, having to spy on our neighbors, wondering whether or not there's been a murder across the street.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're watching a movie about that very subject matter. Isn't that amazing?
Spoiler alert.
It's almost like we planned this.
Spoilers.
We totally didn't. We didn't. We were like, let's watch Rear Window. And then after that, we were like, oh, it fits in with the whole milieu.
Milieu?
I'm not sure that was the proper use of that word. But
maybe
whatever.
Not, but it sounds pretty.
It sounds French.
No, it is French.
Oh, okay, good. Then the French made a good choice in making it one of their words. This is Parents Night In, by the way.
Yes, Parents Night In.
Right here on YouTube and Anchor and Spotify and Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and wherever
wow.
You can find podcasts.
We're ubiquitous.
We're fucking everywhere.
Yeah. I liked ubiquitous better, but if you want to swear, fine.
I like fucking everywhere. Whoa.
Whoa.
That didn't mean to sound like that.
No.
Ooh.
So,
anywho.
Changing the subject, we are going to watch Rear Window. And if you haven't seen it yet,
it's a fucking classic.
Yeah, make the time.
It is 100% my favorite Hitchcock film. I've seen over 5 of them. No.
I really thought you were going to say a higher number.
I've seen quite a few Hitchcock films. I'm not sure how many exactly, but to me, it's Hitchcock's masterpiece. It doesn't hurt that Jimmy Stewart is the star of it, because Jimmy Stewart is a national treasure. But I just love the... it's all on one set, basically. It's in his apartment and
cool.
In the courtyard, which was a set. It was built on a back lot. It's got the whole like paranoia thing and just that slowly building tension throughout the movie, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
So if you are a fan of the show and have watched our episode about Superman, you've no doubt heard me talk about my Grampy and
yes.
How I've fallen in love with movies, partially because of his love of movies. I was not familiar with this movie until he introduced me to it.
This was his favorite movie, wasn't it?
He loved this movie. He loved Grace Kelly. And so, I mean, I love it because it's a fabulous movie, but I love the memory of watching it with him. And I love that every
value.
Time I think of this movie, I think about him.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
I was introduced to this movie through my dad. This was on TV, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but I found it pretty interesting because it was a guy looking out his window the whole movie. I think on some level, subconsciously, I was like, this is different.
Well, yeah, because you're used to movies having multiple locations
locales,
you know, the scenery moves around and you see different things. I actually think that's such a great backdrop of this movie that it really does take place in the same place. And
almost entirely from his point of view.
It's so cool because he's watching sort of the world live outside his window. Like he can't do anything, but everyone else is going about their days and enjoying their lives. And it's almost like he has like 6 or 7 different TV screens.
Yes. He's a totally passive observer.
Right. And they don't know that he's watching either. So it would be interesting, like, if they waved over and they were like, hi, Jeff, that would be different. But they don't. It's like they don't even see him watching them.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the basic premise is Jimmy Stewart plays L.B. Jeffries, who's a photographer, and he's got a broken leg and he's wheelchair bound. So he's stuck just looking out his window and it's hot as shit. So everyone's windows are open so he can see and hear stuff across the courtyard, and he takes an interest in this neighbor across the way who's got a bedridden wife, and some suspicious things start happening.
And L.B. Jeffries?
He didn't have a Jenny Slate there to sing, don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious,
don't be suspicious. If there's one thing you take away from Parks and Rec, it's don't be suspicious, don't be suspicious.
And if there's one thing you take away from this movie, it's do be suspicious.
See that coming? I don't know. Do be suspicious. Do be suspicious.
The suspicious neighbor is played by Raymond Burr,
Is he related to Aaron Burr?
No, but he's Perry Mason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never watched Perry Mason. I like her. What else is she in? Oh, no, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm going to come up with it.
I can't think of it anyway, but yeah, she's been in other stuff that we've seen.
There's a very specific movie that I remember her from.
Something we saw kind of recently, I think.
She is the mother that is in Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes, yes, yes. Gimbals.
Yep, she's the Gimbals mother.
Yep.
Woo!
That was it.
And her kid asks for the fire engine, and she's like, they ain't got none.
Imagine telling me to go to Gimbals instead of Macy's.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
You're right. It's totally that lady.
I've said this before, but Jimmy Stewart is the most likable actor of all time.
Find me a person who disagrees with that, and I will find you a heathen.
Find me a person who disagrees with that, and I will find that person a punch in the face.
Yes. So according to some of the trivia information on IMDb, which I always will take with a grain of salt, did you know that while shooting, all of the actors and actresses in the other apartments wore flesh-colored earpieces so that Hitchcock could radio direction to them?
Oh, that's interesting.
So he only worked out of Jeff's apartment, and they all sort of wore these earpieces, and the only one that sort of had free rein to do whatever they wanted to do was Miss Torso.
Oh.
She just kind of like did her thing.
Interesting.
And she basically like almost lived in the apartment. She just sort of lounged around between takes and stuff.
Yeah.
But she just sort of got to do her own thing.
Good evening, Miss Torso. We'll get to do whatever basically she wants. Everyone else, including myself, and I will be in one of the apartments adjusting a clock.
I should have considered the fact that if we did anything Hitchcock, you'd do your Hitchcock.
And action. This is the scene of the crime.
Wow. So did you know that supposedly Hitchcock hired Raymond Burr to play Lars Thorwald because he could easily be made to look like his old producer, David O. Selznick?
Really?
Who Hitchcock felt interfered too much.
Oh.
Apparently, Grace Kelly confessed to many gossip columnists that she found Jimmy Stewart one of the most masculinely attractive men she had ever met.
Ooh.
And she was known for, like, hooking up with co-stars. So it made Paramount really uncomfortable because she was
She didn't actually hook up with him?
I don't think so. But she was, like, you know, making a big deal out of how masculinely hot he was.
Mm.
So out of the four movies that he made with Hitchcock, this one is said to be his personal favorite, Mr. Stewart.
Well, he has good taste. His favorite movie that he ever made was...
He has good taste, because I agree with him.
No, I mean, It's a Wonderful Life was his favorite movie that he ever made, period.
Mm.
I like the other ones he made with Hitchcock as well. Like, Vertigo, it took me a few...
I like Vertigo.
It took me a few viewings to appreciate it. The first time I watched it, I was kind of bored by
it. That's the one where they go to Africa?
No, that's the Man Who Knew Too Much.
Oh, that one's good, too.
That one's good. Vertigo is the one where he meets the woman who reminds him of the other woman who died.
You know what? Actually, I'm sorry. I liked Vertigo. I remember almost nothing about it. I should watch it again.
Yeah.
This is a really great copy.
It's a beautiful copy.
I've never watched the Blu-ray copy on a TV this crisp.
No. The one Stuart Hitchcock collaboration that you haven't watched, and you should, is called Rope.
I haven't watched that.
It's really good. That's, I think, my second favorite of the four, actually. Mm. It's like 1917, where it's done in one shot, quote unquote. Mm. And there's splices that you can spot if you look for them.
If you look hard.
But it's basically done in one shot. Yeah, 50s color films had sort of an overly vibrant color palette.
I like that.
Today's color films tend to be muted.
Yes.
I mean, naturalistic, but if they lean one way or another, it tends to be toward, like, muted colors.
Well, I mean, a lot of films today very specifically pick filters on their colors to convey a tone.
Yeah.
And
whereas back
that certainly
then,
happened back then, but, like, I don't think they had as much control back
no,
then.
No, they didn't have
as
much control. And back then, I think, because they were making both black and white and color movies at this time, I think they wanted the colors to just jump out of
right.
the screen.
Making
at you
a
because,
muted movie.
Like, if you're going to see a color movie, you want to see it in fucking color.
Well, I mean, look at the bricks, right? So you see her pink, you're looking at the wall, you see her pink apartment, you see her chartreuse dress. The bricks almost look purple with the moonlight.
Yeah.
And so even the bricks, while they're outside and they're in the dark, just seem so gorgeous.
Right.
So Miss Lonely Hearts is so lonely, and she's pretending to have a date. That's how lonely she is. She doesn't even know she's visible.
You know, Miss Lonely Hearts, all you had to do was get like 10 cats. You'd be fine.
If you ever
She's a crazy cat lady without the cats.
If you ever decide to just take off and leave me.
You're going to get a shitload of cats?
Hell yeah.
I mean, if I...
One for every color of the rainbow.
Not that that will ever happen, but if it did, I would probably get 10 cats myself.
So, wait.
Because guess what? I liked cats before crazy cat ladies were even a thing.
Yeah. So are you suggesting, just a question, are you suggesting that we should break up so that between the two of us we could have 20 cats?
That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Mr. Jeffries is not into the whole committing thing.
Yeah, he's trying not to commit, and imagine she desperately dating, wants him to commit.
Imagine dating Grace Kelly and being like, I don't know if I want to
What's
do
crazy
this for
about
the rest
it,
of my life, though.
Is that Grace Kelly is like, can you just friggin' commit?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no thanks. And she's like, I mean, look at me. That's what I would say.
All she has to do is be like, I'm Grace Kelly, bitch.
Yeah. So yeah, I always thought it was so cool when...
He looks at the newlyweds window, which the shade is pulled because they're fucking all the time.
The newlyweds get this new apartment. They start making out as soon as they walk through the door, and then the shade's closed.
They establish that the new bride can't get enough of her husband's ding-dong.
Ding-a-ling-a-dang-dong.
And he looks over at it, and he's like, oh, no, she's going to want to bang me all the time. And I'm like, and the problem with that is what exactly? They're eating lobster. Hey, Grace Kelly, you coming over to my apartment and bringing me lobster?
Wow.
So here's the scene where they talk about how Jeff doesn't think that they can make this thing work long term because he's a photographer and he needs to be wherever he needs to be, and he could be in the jungle for weeks and he can't see this this rich woman giving up everything and going to the jungle with him, for example. I'm not stubborn.
So
I went into Sean Connery for a second. I'm not stubborn. Leisha.
That is
you've got to face the fact. You're not made for this kind of life. I'm a photographer.
That is not Jimmy Stewart.
What am I drinking now, Kelly? Give up?
Yes.
I'm drinking Apothic Inferno.
Inferno.
Apothic is a very affordable line of wines, but their Inferno is seasonal, but it's aged in whiskey barrels, and it's got that nice, rich, like almost vanilla whiskey barrel tinge to it. It's quite nice. And it doesn't require opening. It's just like as soon as you pop it. It's ready to party! I wonder what city this is supposed to take place in. Does IMDb say anything about that?
Greenwich Village.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So he wanted to shoot this in Greenwich Village, and it just wasn't going to work because of the noise and all that stuff. Yeah, so when they decided to do it on a soundstage, he sent a crew out to photograph some areas in Greenwich Village in as many angles as possible and at as many times of day as possible to capture all of the light and angle possibilities.
Interesting.
So that he could recreate it as close as possible to the real thing.
I want to live in Greenwich Village for a little while.
Yeah.
We should buy an apartment there.
All right. Dude, I'm down.
I love Greenwich Village. Perry Mason is looking out the window suspiciously at the dog who's digging in the garden.
Why would he only put some parts in the garden?
I don't know.
It's weird. Like, he clearly couldn't bury the whole thing, but like...
Why would you put any of it in the
Why
garden?
Would you take some of it and put it in one place and some of it and put it in another? I guess if you're trying to throw the police off the scent, I don't know. But like, in your own backyard probably doesn't help throw the scent off, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Like, if I were to, what's the word?
Kill someone?
No. You're going to have to do some smart editing here to make me not look, you know.
If I were to...
No, like... What is the word? I love the way it's phrased, and I'm struggling to find it.
What the fuck are you talking
where
about?
Where someone says, like, if I were to off you, but it's not off. It's like, if I were to disappear you. Disappear. If I were to disappear you. So let me go back. That's my rewind. Is it good?
It's pretty bad.
Okay.
You should disappear that sound effect.
If the neighbor were to disappear his wife. Uh-huh. Why would he decide to disappear her in his own backyard and multiple other places?
Yeah, that's not good planning.
Like, if you're going to put her in other places, don't leave a finger or two in the backyard.
Kelly, he's a fucking amateur.
Well, you know who's not an amateur?
Perry Mason.
L.B. Jeffries. Oh, making out.
Making out. 1950s style where they barely touch lips.
They're doing the makey outies. They barely touch lips. It's mostly like laying on each other and then like...
Yeah.
Breathing near the mouth of the other person. How does he control himself? Come on. Well, to be fair, he's in a peen cast.
He's in basically a chastity belt.
Yeah, he has like a whole waist cast.
I know.
That's gonna be rough.
Can't even jerk off, for Christ's sakes.
Oh my God.
Unless he uses that back scratcher.
No, no, no.
That would hurt.
No, 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 no. We are not going there. We are a reputable show.
That would be quite painful.
We are a reputable, respectable showsies.
Now here's where he tells the girlfriend that I've seen some weird shit across the way. Something ain't right. She's like, why?
She's like, you know what? I'm wearing
I'm here making... First of all, again, I'm Grace Kelly, bitch. And all you can think about is what the neighbors are doing.
And he's asking her questions like, how would you start to cut up a human body? And she's like, wait a minute. What the hell is happening now?
She's like, you...
We were making out and now this?
You have been alone in this apartment for way too long.
She's accusing him of brain diseases.
She's accusing him of bringing the board game Diseases by Aldrin Games.
Diseases.
I brought diseases.
Imagine what would have happened if Mr. L.B. Jeffries was not confined to a chair and made to look out the window all day.
He would have gotten away with the Perry Mason son.
Especially because
bitch.
If he wasn't confined to his chair, he'd be like off somewhere shooting wars and...
Shooting wars.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, here it is.
There's the honeymoon
the
husband.
The newlywed husband is like, oh God.
It's like, oh Jesus. Oh, thank God, she left the room. Maybe she's going to get me some orange juice and I'll have like 17 minutes to rest.
My balls are whistling.
I've never heard such a void.
Whistling?
My balls are whistling? I've heard my mouth is whistling. I've heard the tea kettle is whistling. I've never heard that about Boge. Oh,
Boge. Now he's called his friend over, who's a detective for the police department. The police.
The paranoia has reached its penultimate limit.
The paranoia.
What if I said limert?
Limert. Kelly, well, there's no R in limit. I'm so sorry that I mispronounced a word. So his cop friend doesn't buy it. He's like, I think you're seeing things because you're bored and you're laid up and do something else. Oh no. Perry Mason has found the dog snooping around in the garden.
I'll tell you, I've met like 9 Thorwalds in my life, and they're all suspect.
Have you met 9 Thorwalds?
Nope.
No. I thought that was a fictional story.
Not a one.
I have met 9 Thorwalds in my life, and believe it or not, they all work in suitcase design.
So...
The most suspect of all is Sven Thorwald, the grandson.
I don't really know how many words I can come up with to explain it, but... You know, Jimmy Stewart is a national treasure.
Absolutely.
He's just so good at what he does.
Well, not anymore.
Did. You know, don't judge my verbiage.
Verbiage.
My verb tense. Verbiage. Do people say verbiage as opposed to verbiage?
Verbiage is the word.
Why do people say verbiage?
Because they're wrong.
That's like when people say clothes instead of clothes.
What?
Do you know what drives me bananas?
What?
Clothes.
But that's the word.
I know. But no one says it that way.
Clothes.
It's weird.
I say it.
I know. It's weird.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, oh PNI God. Fans. I would like you to tell us
how
if clothes... Clothes.
Clothes?
Yes.
That's not correct, though. There's a TH in the word.
I know there's a TH in the word, Justin. Oh. That doesn't mean you have to say it.
But you're supposed to say it. It's clothes.
I'm going to ask on the Book of Face.
Thorwald showed up and he's looking schemish. That's a word that I just made up, schemish. It's like squeamish,
yep.
Except you're prone to evil plots. You're texting the entire group at 1:30 in the morning to ask how they pronounce basic English words.
Your mother is awake.
Hey. Do you pronounce the B in comfortable? What kind of weirdo are you? It's comfortable.
Oh, your mom responded. She responded.
This is the most ridiculous. I'm sure that our audience is delighted to find out how we pronounce the word clothes. How have we been together for, 16 years now? And this is just coming up?
Oh, I've been thinking it for a long time.
I've been thinking it since I met you.
No, whenever you say it to Harry, you're like, Harry, get your clothes.
I don't say it like that.
What cult are you a part of?
the cult that pronounces words correctly.
Do you also say Wednesday?
No, because Wednesday is the correct pronunciation of that word.
Consortium?
Oh my God. The difference is clothes is the correct way to pronounce clothes.
Important question. The most important question of
the
day.
Why aren't we talking about the movie?
Some might say, is it Donna Reed or Grace Kelly for you?
Donna Reed.
Oh my God, you didn't even hesitate.
No, I wouldn't hesitate.
But
Grace Kelly's absolutely
Grace
beautiful.
Kelly's a princess.
She is, but Donna Reed does it for me more.
All right. So I want to hear more about this. Why? What is it about Donna Reed?
I don't know. I think it's she's got more of the girl next door quality that I naturally gravitate towards.
I'm not surprised by that
Grace
response.
Grace Kelly is the princess that's like
Grace Kelly
perfect
is almost
and statuesque, but like
almost unattainable.
Not that she's unattainable, but it's like the whole Gal Gadot thing. Like, Gal Gadot is absolutely gorgeous, but like I'm not attracted
but
to her
so
that way.
But so gorgeous that like you just, I can't even think of that as sexy because
no.
It's not attainable?
No. It's not, as I said, it's not an attainable thing. I'm not sure how to explain it. You know what it is? It's like if you go to a museum and you see a bronze statue of a nude or something, would you be sexually attracted to it?
I don't know. Are its boobs awesome?
The boobs could be awesome, but like you're not attracted to it in that way. It's just like it's a beautiful work of art. I think it's that sort of thing.
So you think of Grace Kelly as a work of art, and you think of Donna Reed as sort of a real person.
Yeah.
Almost as if Grace Kelly is not, almost like beyond this world.
Sort of.
Okay. That's fair. Now, to be fair, I'm like...
Are there guys like that for you?
Maybe. I'll come back to that in a second.
Okay.
I'm pressing you on this in a way because I want to understand it a little bit. I agree. I love Donna Reed. And I would probably choose Donna Reed over Grace Kelly. And I think probably also for more of a like a... Donna Reed is gorgeous and has a fire about her. She's got like a spark in her eyes.
Yep.
It's like the difference between the girl who knows she's gorgeous and the girl who has no idea. Donna Reed she was gorgeous, but she didn't play into the gorgeous. She played into the personality.
Right.
So I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, it's the intangibles that make the difference.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
It's like there's, this is a weird analogy, but if you...
Oh, I can't wait to hear it. It's like purple and blue. No, wait. It's like bread and peaches.
There's a scene in Glengarry Glen Ross where Al Pacino is talking about the things you remember about sex. It's not like the climax that you remember. It's like something little, like something her eyes did during it. That's what you remember about it. And like that's what you think about later when you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. And it's just little things. So the cop is back. We should probably talk about the movie a little more. The cop friend is back and he's done some digging about the Thorwalds.
Can I ask you a question? Are you sad that we're not sitting here swirling brandies in our hands with lit cigarettes?
I don't like brandy much, or smoking. So, no.
I've got to say, brandy is not my favorite, nor is smoking.
May as well be like, are you sad that we're not sitting here listening to country music and having a lovely plate of asparagus? I don't like either of those things, so no.
Do you wish right now you might be having a colonoscopy?
How many people do you suppose listen to country music
while
eating asparagus?
While listening to experimental poetry?
Wow. Oh, the cop says clothes too.
Did he?
He says Mrs.
Rewind it. I missed it.
Mrs. Thorwall's clothes. Here it is.
Mrs. Thorwall's clothes.
Yay!
Yeah, but you know what?
What?
Turns out he's wrong about the whole case, so he's probably wrong about the pronunciation, too. You gonna go with that? You should see how L.B. Jeffries pronounces it, because L.B. Jeffries is right.
Does L.B. Jeffries say clothes?
I hope so.
Your mom's funny.
I don't see why it's difficult to say. It's not. Clothes.
She has a small tongue, Justin.
I guess so.
She said it in the text.
Oh, she did?
She said, my tongue is clearly not long enough to say
my
this word.
My tongue is too small to meet my teeth to make the TH sound. What the fuck?
That suggests that she also says, where did you put Zoe's?
Hey. I'm hanging out with my grandson. Jesus. Hold on, what day is it? Thursday. So the cop is basically saying, I tracked the trunk and it was picked up at the train station by the wife.
Anna Thorwald.
Now they have to come up with something new to spy on. So they're looking at Miss Lonelyhearts, who has a gentleman suitor and who's very aggressive.
His head's all over the place. He's like, woo, 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 woo.
He wasn't sure where the boobs were.
He's like a marionette.
Oh, did you hear? Nope.
What is he, a newborn baby?
Apparently. And then there's a great scene here where she's like, what the hell kind of ghouls are we that we're actually disappointed that we didn't witness a murder?
Well, yeah, like, I mean, it's, do we want this to happen? Well, is it because we want this to be true?
It's like it's worse that we're wrong than that there was an actual murder.
She's brought quite the nightie.
She has. She's brought quite the getup.
Her nightie even comes with shoes.
Her shoes even come with shoes.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. He's probably like, Lisa, I'm going to ask you not to put it on anything too sexy because I don't have room in my cast for any kind of growth. So, oh, shit. Now, see what you've done? The balcony couple. Their dog is dead.
LB Jeffries, I have to talk to you immediately. Something terrible has happened.
Oh, God.
To my dog. I believe something's happened.
Now, I just want to point out that if in real life I were to hear a blood-curdling scream, yeah, regardless of the beautiful nightie that I was wearing, I would not gracefully flow to the window with my beautiful, lovely outfit flowing behind me and be like, let me pull up the blinds. I'd be like, holy shit, what was that? And I would probably trip over the table on the way to the window. It would not
You'd
be
knock
pretty.
The table out the window?
Probably. I'd break a window and then people would be like, I don't know what the scream was, but that lady just fell out the window.
Never mind the scream. This is way more interesting. This woman's having a car accident in her apartment.
And see, here's the thing. Everybody else in the courtyard was so busy with their own lives, no one saw it happen. And Lisa and Jeff shut the blinds.
Well, because they were getting ready to get it on. Although I'm still not sure how that was going to work. He's got a cast up to his waist. I'm still not sure how he takes a shit.
You have good questions there.
Maybe it's like wrapped around his waist, but his dinky and his butthole are still exposed.
Dinky and butthole? What the hell?
What the hell?
Is this like a third grade boys on the playground or recess discussion?
He's going to play with her headlights. So the question is, doesn't she go down there and dig and she doesn't find anything? So did he move it? Yeah, did he bury something and saw the dog sniffing around? He's like, oh, I better move this shit.
Why did I think there was a finger there? That's pretty gory, though, so I guess maybe I'm wrong.
He flubbed that line a little bit. You won't dig around. Get your
She flubbed one a few minutes ago, too, and she was like, imagine what people would think to come in here.
Now, look, Lisa. If you think you're going to go down there, you're screwy. That's what I think. You're crazy.
What have you done with her question mark?
What have you done with her question mark? Does she own her own question mark?
Yes.
I'm just using everyone else's.
He threw it away or something.
Oh, he's reading the letter. He's reading it.
I find it interesting that it never occurs to him to look in any of the windows across the way.
Well, I mean, he's an amateur. Considering he did all this with his windows wide open instead of with the shades drawn. So now they're going to go dig up the flower bed.
This is like the, what year did this come out?
54.
The 1954 version of people watching CSI today. Like, I'm going to solve the crime! Before. It was Jepson in the library with a candle match.
A candle match? Before CSI, people just had to sit around and look out their windows and wait for one of their neighbors to commit a murder so they had something to solve. What a fucking desperate, boring existence that must have
been. That's a really long time to wait.
Oh, and finally something happens, like, oh my God, it's the season premiere. The fun part would be coming up with David Caruso-style quips.
Yes.
Well, he hit his wife's ring, but he didn't count on that doorbell ring.
So he calls Thorwald,
yes,
who stares at the phone for quite a long time before he decides to pick it up. And then he says, you get my note? Meet me at the bar. Meet me at the bar and I'll tell you who I are. He wanted to make a rhyme. He thought it was a very important time.
Pirate style rhyme?
Yes.
Arr, meet me at the bar, and you'll see who I are.
At the Hotel Arthur.
Remember when you have to look shit up in the phone book?
I don't. I mean, I do, but, like, it's been a long time.
Did you ever, when you had the white pages, did you ever, like, find, in your case, boys that you had a crush on?
I looked for everyone I knew.
And look up their phone numbers?
Heck yeah.
I did, too.
I looked for everyone I knew. I memorized a couple of boys' phone numbers that I never called.
Yep.
Oh, weird kid addresses. Angst.
That's 1980s stalking.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, she digs and doesn't find anything. Right. I think they maybe explain it at the end where, like, he had something buried there and he moved it.
He moved it, yeah.
And this crazy bitch is going up into his fucking apartment.
Right.
Via the fire escape.
They're taking a lot of, like, really big risks that no one else is going to look out the window at all.
Yeah, everyone's so busy they're not even seeing this. What? Whoa, right. She's climbing up into that apartment. What's happening?
Why are they digging up flowers and climbing up fire escapes?
Didn't they see what happened to the dog who dug up the flowers?
Do you think she did her own stunts?
I don't know. I was just thinking that. Let's see if they cut away and then cut back to... Yeah, they cut away. That's the stunt woman. Maybe instead of Grace Kelly, they got Jean Kelly.
Jean Kelly does not have a slim body like that. She's going through the stuff. She's in his apartment. She finds the pearls. Then she hears him outside and they're like watching and freaking out. They can't do anything about it.
It's what I like to call passive suspense, where you're watching this happen. There's nothing you can do to affect
the situation. Nothing anybody can do to change it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The coroner shows up and he's like, oh my God. But she's dumb here because she gives Jeff away by pointing at the ring, inadvertently signaling to Thorwald that someone across the way is watching.
Right, that's right, because then he makes eye contact with the camera. It's Jeff, awesome.
Jeff should have had the lights turned off completely during this whole thing.
Right.
He says, if that woman was alive, she'd be wearing that ring. That's hard to say. She'd be wearing that ring, right?
She'd be wearing that wing, right, White?
You don't always wear your wedding ring.
I do always wear my wedding ring.
I've seen you take it off.
I haven't taken it off in like years.
Years?
Yes. No, I used to take it off because, and this happens to many women, not just me, where...
likely story.
When you wash your hands a lot and stuff, water gets trapped underneath your ring and it irritates your finger. And so there was a point where I had really bad eczema under my ring. I'm pretty sure it was like a combination of water and sensitive skin and being allergic to my marriage.
That seems about right.
Yeah.
And then some strange woman broke into our house and she was like, I live across the street. There is no way that your wife is still alive. Look at her wedding ring sitting there in the sink. There's no way that she would not be wearing it. She doesn't leave it. Also, all of her purses are in the closet and she should be carrying her favorite one.
It took a really long time for you to explain in British.
Jeff picked the absolute worst apartment to be crippled in because he's got, like, levels.
Yeah, he can't get to the door and lock it.
He can't get to the door and lock it. He can't get out of it. That was a ingenious bit of set design by Mr. Hitchcock.
Yes.
Or whoever. Like, why doesn't he just run out of his apartment? Well, he can't because he has to take steps to get to the door.
That guy don't give an F about nothing. Do you remember saying when you were a kid, I don't give a care?
No.
We used to say it all the time.
I know some
people. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't give a care about you and your stupid toys.
No, I didn't say it because I'm not lame.
If looks could kill, you'd be...
I'd be Mrs. Thorwald?
Yes. Nice one.
Buried,
I was going to say you'd
buried
be...
all over town.
I was going to say you'd be a puddle on the ground, but... Why in the world would anyone marry that creep? Because he is a creep.
Kelly, people marry creeps all the time.
I know I did.
Wow. Oh, no.
Oh, poor Jeff.
Poor Jeff landed on the bricks. Fortunately, a couple of the police broke his fall a little bit, but he's
not in great
shape.
He's
not getting out of that cast anytime soon.
No. Grace Kelly's going to be taking care of him for a while yet.
Poor son of a bitch. He buried his wife in the East River. The dog was digging around, so...
It's in a hat fox over somewhere else.
So he moved it.
Yeah. And he says... You want to check it out? And she's, no thanks, I don't want any part of it. And then 2 minutes later, she's like...
2 minutes?
Two seconds.
She sat there for two straight minutes,
yes,
thinking about what an untimely pun that was.
What?
Isn't that why she makes that, I don't want any part of it, meaning part, like, because...
Oh, I thought she was just like, never mind, I'll go with you.
No, I think it was like, no thanks, I don't want any part of it. Part, ew.
Ew.
Mrs. Lonely Hearts found love finally.
With the musician.
The musician whose music saved her life.
Yeah.
And it turns out Miss Torso is married to a nerd.
Oh, she's so happy to see her short little man.
How would he feel knowing that she entertained so many men in the apartment? She may not have banged them, but just she had so many men over this whole
time. I didn't get the impression that that's like her husband. I thought that was like she...
Well, her boyfriend, whatever.
She boyfriended a sailor towards the end.
No, I think it was she was with him all along and he was just off fighting or whatever. He was off stationed.
Oh, now both of his feet
now
are in
both
casts.
Of his legs. Probably his dinky and his butthole, too.
Jesus, Justin. Oh, look at her in her jeans.
Yeah, she's
wearing, all relaxed now.
She's wearing
no more
sensible
dresses
slacks.
But, I mean, come
on. Reading books
on.
About the Himalayas. So
look at the blouse and the matching lipstick and the gorgeousness. Oh, why is she so gorgeous?
She's a spectacularly beautiful woman.
She was reading the book till he fell asleep, and then she just opened the fashion mag anyway.
Oh, you can't change the stripes on her.
Stripes.
You can't change those designer stripes.
Oh, my. Gosh, Rear, I love that movie.
Rear Window. It's a wonderful film.
Good golly, Miss Molly. That movie is great.
Full of suspense. Full of the passive kind of suspense, where you're stuck just watching terrible things happen. You can't do anything about it.
Yeah. And it is very fun that the whole setting takes place from inside his apartment.
Yeah.
Except for that moment after he drops into the courtyard.
Yeah, that's literally the only time that the cameras aren't
The vantage point is not from his apartment.
Right.
Yeah.
You could almost stage that as a play if you had a large enough theater. Yeah, it's my favorite Hitchcock film.
Yeah,
and
I think
feel
it might
like
be
it's,
mine.
I feel like it's underappreciated. Like, you don't... When you talk to people about Hitchcock, the main ones they talk about are, like, Psycho and Vertigo and...
He's not Dial M for Murder, is he?
No.
I feel like I always used to think it was him, but then I found out it wasn't him.
Hold on. I can never remember this. There's that and there's Anatomy of a Murder. One of them is definitely not him.
I mean, 100%. I think Rear
Window
is...
Dial M is him.
Oh, okay. I 100% believe in my opinion, this movie is definitely better than Vertigo and Psycho.
Oh, I totally agree. Psycho was like super grisly for its time, but feels really tame now.
Yeah.
Well, just considering what it set out to achieve when it was released.
Right.
Like, it was set out to be like a truly shocking movie, and now it's not shocking. So, like, it loses that.
Mm.
And it was shot on such a low budget because the studio wouldn't put up a lot of money for a script like that.
They budgeted it like a B-movie?
They did, and the only reason they put up any money was because it was Hitchcock, and he was already a proven box office draw. And so he shot it down and dirty in like a TV movie almost.
Yeah.
And it made a fortune, but it loses a little for me because it's A, no longer that shocking, and B, it was pretty low budget for the time. Have you anything else to say?
Daisies are by far the worst flower. I actually don't think that about daisies. You just asked me if I had anything else to say, and that was the first thing that came to my mind. I like daisies, specifically the Gerber ones.
I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I take it all back. I love daisies. May your world be lined with daisies for all of your days to come.
That was terriblazies.
That was amusing, wasn't it?
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.